got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper.
24/7. I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
All in my
boogie book. Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know.
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow.
Bro.
And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by the bookkeeper, 247.com. Welcome back to our sixth episode of season two of the Mitch Durrell Show with special guest Alcott. We would like to thank everyone, including our new listeners, for joining us. In episode six of season two, Mitch Durrell sits down with upcoming hip hop artist Alcott. Stay tuned and find out how Alcott became a Christian, how he got into hip hop, and what does it feel like to be a minority in our space. Also, Alcott shares what he would like to accomplish as a rapper and what he wanted to become as a child. It's an awesome interview, so tune in to find out more about your favorite artist with your favorite host. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
No, I grew up bumping Lecrae into Fire Life. Now both of them know who I am, man. If that isn't God's work, I'm not sure what is. Cause when I was a kid, I would sit in my room and assume that to do what they doing was not even worth my attention. So I didn't mention it back to my friends, and that I get a vision of ended up making a living off spitting. Cause I knew I'd come off fucking Vincent. What a dumb decision. I was worried about another one's opinion. Under what condition has that ever ended up with someone benefiting? Never in existence. So I finally just did it. And now looking back on it, I think my dream as a kid was a premonition. Homie, this my interest. If you win attendance, better be defensive. I got villains wishing ill intentions within killing distance. Feeling bold and feeling clips with ammunition. Their new mission isn't born of nothing short of some jealousy. Mortals are bored of the Lord and my pedigree. I've been adopted by God, and the force of his moral support is way more than I'll ever need. So I just been working way harder than demons like Sean Don. Like the kid getting called on in a class when he didn't put his hand up, but he really knew the answer all along. I ain't looking for a pat on the back. Matter of fact, I would rather be the one that everybody too intimidated to approach. Cause I body anybody innovative with the flows. Look, day that I fall off, the same one that Lucifer stops deceiving. All the apostles, they stop believing. It's never gonna happen, I'm on top like apostrophes. And I'm not facetious when I say that I'm a better rapper than the ones they pick it for the list of double XL. So I'm gonna excel when they can't stop me, long as God is leading. It's all I believe in, regardless of season. I put my hopes in the prayers and I'm leaving the rest of it all up to Jesus. If I get named as a freshman, then I'll be conflicted for obvious reasons. Cause it might be weird to be part of a class I honestly ought to be teaching.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell, and this is the Mitch Durrell Show. This is season two, episode six. Today, I got a personal friend of mine, goes by the name of Alcott. What's up, bro?
What up? How's it going?
I'm great, friend. I'm amazing. This is going to be super fun. We should have done this a long time ago, but we can dive right into it. So, super easy question. How did you become a Christian? Go.
Well, I mean, I definitely grew up like in a Christian home. But it was when I was like 10 years old when I first discovered like Lecrae's music, actually, to where I actually started to question like what does it mean to be a Christian. So I would say it wasn't until I was like 11 or 12 that like I really like understood what Christianity was, and really like gave my life to Christ at that point. But I grew up in a home of Christian people. And so I did spend my whole life being like, I'm Christian, but,
right.
It was like Lecrae was, and his music was a huge part of what made me like, just think about what it really means to be Christian. And that's sort of, a big part of just my faith journey.
So that's dope. Cause I'm like about the exact opposite. I grew up in the church, knew nothing about Christian music, Christian hip hop, anything, found it way later. So for you, the music helped you. So how did you find the music, if that makes sense?
So I always loved, like, I was always, like, infatuated with hip-hop music, but my mom was, like, pretty strict about what I could listen to, so, like, most of it, like, I was just, like, not allowed to listen to. And so one time we were in, like, the Lifeway Christian bookstore, and I remember just sort of, like, wandering around in there and stumbling onto the music section, and, like, up front was, like, Lecrae's Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is this? Like, right. I didn't even know that, like, Christians made hip hop music.
Right.
And so I just, like, bought that CD to try it out. And I was like, oh, like, this is, like, really good.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's, and then it was a wrap after that. I listened to, like, I got his whole catalog at that point.
That's super dope. So you kind of just stumbled upon it. And then, what about, like, the lyrics or the music kind of made you think, because you said you were always around Christians, but the music somehow, like, kind of made you dig deeper in it, which is kind of like what a lot of us try to do in Christian hip hop. It's like, yo, maybe someone will hear it and it'll help them in their journey. So, like, what about Lecrae's music kind of did that for you?
I mean, I don't know if I would say it was anything, like, specific that he said. I think it was just the fact that this was a person who I looked up to so much, and the fact that it was, you know, at the forefront of what he was doing just made me think, oh, maybe this is something I should be taking more seriously. So, yeah.
So backtracking a little bit, what got you into hip-hop? Like, because, so, like, me, I same as you, I wasn't allowed to listen to it, and anything I was, like, I used to listen to Bow Wow and Lil Romeo because they were, like, clean for the
same
month. Yeah. Right, so eventually
Will Smith.
Facts. So, like, what was it about hip-hop in general that I don't know if you listen to any other type of music growing up, but, like, what about hip-hop was like, this is, I'm into this?
Well, when I was, like, really little, I used to always want to be a writer, like an author. And I always had just, like, this natural, like, ability to, like, spell word. Like, I was, like, a crazy good speller from, like, a young age. My dad used to, like, ask me, you know, spell these long words, and I could do it. So, like, I just always have had this, like, natural inclination just to words in general. Like, I'm fascinated by just the idea of it all. And so, obviously, like, hip hop is a lot more lyrically focused. And so just I think as soon as I heard it, it was just like the way that they were putting the words together was something that made me just want to, like, dive in deeper and just, like, figure out what was going on. Like, I remember, I mean, when I wasn't really allowed to listen to much of it, it'd be like whatever, like, feature verse was on the popular songs. Mm-hmm. It was like T.I.'s verse on that JT song, My Love or whatever. Yeah. Like, I used to, like, memorize that, or like Chamillionaire's verse on that Sierra song from a long time ago. Like, so it was just, yeah, the way that they would put the words together, like, I wanted to just, like, study that, which I think is why I'm, like, into the super lyrical stuff too, because that's just, like, what fascinates me.
Definitely same. Cause so I, before I ever wanted to dabble with rapping, I was into poetry. And there's always the joke, like, oh, rappers are poets, but, like, not really. But it's like, yeah, really, technically, yeah, like, at least you should be. There's a lot that goes into it. I literally write my raps like poems. Like, I usually type them out in, like, stanzas. Like, I've always kind of loved poetry that way. And that's why I love Kendrick so much, because I could, like, dissect and, like, literally read out his lyrics and find something new in them each time. So what took you from I'm a fan of this to, yo, I want to actually do this, like, and not just do it like, oh, I might write one song, like, I want to actually, like, be a rapper.
Yo, 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 it's your boy YJO with Enoch Flow Records, letting you know if you need beats, engineering, graphic design, website creation, Enoch Flow is the way to go. I'ma tell you why. Beats and engineering. All beats are produced by yours truly, exclusively, with no leases. And I'll even throw engineering in there for you. Graphic design and website creation. Bring your next single, EP, or album artwork to life with DC Graphics, led by Damian Clinton. Best graphic designer in the business. That's no cap. Get all these services and more only at Enoch Flow Records. Peace.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
Yeah, no, I think like it's hard for me to pick like an exact like moment because mm-hmm. I think it was sort of a long process for me. Because I always knew that I wanted to write.
Right.
I'm trying to think like when I wrote like my first rap, I was probably like 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to high school, my friends and I just like decided to like make these diss tracks about girls in our grade who were blowing us off. And we like ended up making a habit out of that. Like it was like every other weekend we're making, like we probably have like a full mixtape worth of songs from, and of course they were terrible.
Right.
Like they were always telling me like, yo, you're like better than like the rest of us. Like you're like not bad.
You're like good.
And I always sort of like brushed that off though. Just cause it felt like, it just felt like something that I just couldn't do. Like it just felt impossible. But then it was something that I just couldn't get out of my head though. So it wasn't until I got to college that I was like, okay, well, let me like actually try to make a song. And I just, you know, I kept practicing. And then when I started getting like people in sort of like the industry or people I looked up to telling me like, I'm like okay at this. Right. Then I was like, all right, well now I want to be a rapper. But like it was always in me, I think. But it wasn't until I got to college that it became like a feasible option in my mind.
Gotcha. Yeah, it is very, we talk about cosigns and kind of like just getting that, they say they're like signs from God. Like people were talking about do music and sometimes it's not meant for you to do it. But if it is, yeah. You'll know. And OB talked about this like a couple weeks ago, like doors will open, there'll be signs. So it's like example of that for me. Literally, I was in the period where I was like, I graduated from college. I was like, I'm gonna give myself 1 year post-graduation to try to get some traction with this music. And I'll reevaluate. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And within that year, towards the end of it, I won that KJ contest. And for me, that was like a sign. Cause it was like 80 people did this. He's like an OG in the space. He talked about how he couldn't choose between my verse and another guy's verse that I thought was amazing. And so like, to me, that was a moment where I was like, this is God telling me, like, I'm kind of not necessarily like I'm going to blow up doing this, but it's like doors are opening. So it's not like you're completely trash. There's nothing, you know, you have no reason to be in this space, you know? And then, of course, you won a KJ contest, too, which is how we even know each other.
I did, yeah.
Did you think you had a good chance of winning? Was it just something that you were like, let me just throw a verse and see what happens for that specific contest?
Yeah, I mean, what was weird about that one is, like, you know, most rap contests are, like, people post, like, their entries on Instagram or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas his was just, like, you send them an email of the MP3 and see what happens. And so there was no way for me to gauge like how many people are entering, like how dope are the other entries. Like, so I honestly, I had no idea. I did it because I had recently met Poetics and we had kind of become friends, and he was like the guy who produced the contest beat. So I was like, all right, well, maybe that'll like give me like a bit of an edge.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, hopefully that's not why I won, but, but yeah, so I entered it, mostly because of poetics.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we'll circle back to contest for sure. But one, I think this is one of the tougher questions on here, but what is it like? And I asked Hoop this too on like the first or second episode of the show. What's it like being a white rapper? Just knowing that it kind of comes with those extra, it's kind of like being a white rapper. I got to say this carefully. It gives you a glimpse of what it feels like to be like a minority. If that makes sense. Cause you are definitely, it's kind of like a white basketball player. Now it's like, okay, you're looked at like there's not a lot of you and you kind of gotta be really good to make it. So like, do you ever find like there's any extra challenges or anything you got to tiptoe around, or has it been something you've noticed?
Honestly, I don't think about it a whole lot. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm very much like a believer in like the idea that, you know, white rappers are like a guest in in hip hop. But so like because of that, I think we have a responsibility to, and I mean this goes for every rapper in my opinion, right, but to just like study the game, know the roots and everything, which I try to do just because I love it. But yeah, I mean, I don't really think about it a whole lot. The only thing about it that annoys me is just getting compared to Eminem and NF all the time.
Yeah,
because it's literally only because I'm white. Like
you're taking my bullet
no
points,
other reason, bro.
Sir, you're taking my next question. Well, so here's the thing, right? It is unfair when white rappers always get compared to others. Like under that post, for the people that don't know, which is everybody, somebody today was like, what Christian hip hop artists are similar to NF? And I said you. And then somebody else said KJ. I'm like, someone was like, how? How? They're not anything.
Exactly, bro.
They're
like the opposite.
Yeah, no, they're literally the opposite. Other than being, if he wasn't white, it wouldn't even be something someone would bring up.
Yeah.
I will say I tease you about it. I don't think that you're a closer comparison to NF than like KJ, but that's just because of the impression you rap with. But like, you don't rap on the same beats. You're definitely more lyrical. So like, you're not, you know, he's probably not a fair comparison, but you do have that aggression. Why do you rap so angry, bro? What is that about?
I mean, I'm not trying to necessarily. I just like it. I think it's partly just because this is competitive to me. Mm. Like, I mean, I'm coming for heads every time. Like, I mean, why not?
Facts, bro. That's, I think I said to you, you remind me of like, if Dexter was a rapper, like a serial killer who killed his raps. So I don't think that you would say NF is like an influence or a inspiration or someone you compare yourself to, but was Eminem one? And if not, who would you say are people that really influence the way you rap?
Yeah, well, I mean, I will say props to NF because, I mean, not that I would consider him like a huge influence, but I mean, every time he gets brought up, I feel like I sound like I'm hating on him. I think he's right. Dope. And his Perception album, like I listened to that a ton, like when I was really like practicing and honing my craft. So I'm sure like he has some influence on me, no doubt. Eminem was definitely a big influence, but probably not like one of my major ones. But I mean, just like the way that he puts his rhymes together, obviously is something that like I have spent a lot of time just like trying to like dissect and like just learn it. But yeah, in terms of like the artists who like really inspired me when I was getting into hip hop, Joey Badass is a huge one. I remember finding his 1999 mixtape just like randomly. I used to be the guy who would just like go on DatPiff,
right? Yeah,
look at all the new releases, and I just happened to find him through that. And that like, so he was super inspiring for me. Logic was huge for me. Just the way that like the way he puts his cadences together is crazy. And then Tech N9ne was huge for me too, for similar reasons. Also, his rhyme schemes are nuts.
Insane.
But yeah, I mean, and then obviously there's the Kendricks and Coles and dudes like that who are like inspiring to all of us.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, those are some of the main ones for sure.
Speaking of Tech, so we both love Tech Nine. And one reason I feel like I ever had the ability to rap, because I used to be just a drummer. I never thought I'd be a rapper, but I used to practice rapping along to stuff so much. I think I built up the skill over time. Like I used to learn Tech. I know Tech Nine's verse off Worldwide Choppers. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, just same. Being able to get them down was like, I'm honing. That's, I think that's the only reason I even am decent at speed rap. There's nothing else that would have given me that ability other than just practicing verses all the time. Busta Rhymes, and Tech Nine, we've had talks about speed rap. What are your thoughts about, do you ever feel like you get boxed in as like someone who only chops? Like I talked to Chris Noel about this and he's always like, he likes to rap fast, but he doesn't want to get put in that necessary like Tech Nine box where it's like, oh, he's the speed rap guy, but he doesn't ever actually like rap. I'm not gonna say it doesn't make sense, but it's like Tech Nine is different than Kendrick in the sense that like you might not get a story out of Tech Nine. You might just get very fast rap, you know?
Yeah. I don't feel like I do it enough to get boxed in.
Right.
As that. But like it's something that like I enjoy like throwing into a verse sometimes, and like it's something that I plan on continuing to do. Like right. I think when people hate on that, that's just stupid. Like it's just another like piece of an arsenal. Like so but yeah, I don't feel like it's enough of a like gimmick for me that like I would get boxed in. I mean right. Maybe you disagree, but I don't think I'd do it enough for that.
No, I agree with you. Like I think Chris probably does it the most out of, and like Cannon, you know. But I do.
Yeah.
I've been trying, because I think when I first started rapping, I did it a lot more. Because like Logic and Tech Nine were huge for me, so I was almost like trying to only speed rap, and I was eventually like, okay, I can slow it down. People have told me they like my songs better when I slow it down. But yeah, so and of course, you chop whenever I make you, which which I'm gonna do like 12 more chop it ups, and you're gonna be on all of them because. Somehow those are my most popular songs. So, well, I know why. But so
hey, white kids like fast rap.
They really do. And it, I mean, I'm not mad at it. So what are your thoughts? You're unique to me in the sense that you're in Christian hip hop, but it's very clear to me based on just talks we've had that you want to kind of transcend it, which I do too. But I feel like you almost have more of the, you kind of already started doing that. Like you have a song with Futuristic, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are your thoughts on Christian hip hop and being boxed into that? Is it a goal of yours to be like, oh, I want to be in both spaces? I don't want to get boxes. I'm the Christian rapper. I can't ever work with mainstream people. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? B Plus here, back with another recap countdown video. Now, I know I've been on a bit of a hiatus, but I'm glad to be back. And I'm back with a dope project by AI The Anomaly, her debut project with God Over Money entitled Souls Acrylic. Now, this project has been out for about a week now. It has a very timeless sound to it, a lot of dope lyrics, and I'm sure that you guys are going to enjoy it. Now, if this is your first time around this channel, number one, welcome. Number two, feel free to subscribe to the channel and also leave a thumbs up. And number three, here's what we do. We take a look at my five favorite bars, my four favorite beats, my three favorite tracks, my two favorite features, and I run everything out with one final recap. Now, without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into my five favorite bars.
Five bars.
More follow, more bank, little dance, little sway, trade a chicken for the steak, getting greedy with the plague, go and tell me how it tastes, more you hunger for your fame, more you fiddle with your faith. Yeah, I see a lot of withering, Twitter tantrums, tit for tat and the tip of the fingers dancing, tap dance for your fans. Divorces at a high rate, get together just to migrate. States. Many couples lose faith in the mind state. That's why we keep a circle round. Got the ring gang. It's a whole lot of. I look into their eyes, I can see me in them. My daughter full of life, I can see me in them. My son, he got that fire, I can see me in them. Build your floor from my ceiling, I can see you in it. It's labor transition. My ambition is rooted deep in the holy scriptures. My intent is to point them all to the crucifixion, exposing lies and shine a light on the contradictions. He gave me light, and with this life, I choose to live it true. AI only yay high, but flow by with the cross. Carry team like I'm AI. No verse, son. Mommy bars in a booth. Get your work done.
Now, this is definitely one of those projects where it's nearly impossible to pick out your favorite bar just because AI is a very dope lyricist. We all know that if you're signed to God Over Money, that's one thing you have to have. You have to have a tight paying game.
That was an insert from B Plus Recap's YouTube channel on AI Anomaly's project with God Over Money entitled Soul's Acrylic. B Plus is doing amazing things in our Christian community, so go over there and support him by subscribing to his channel. The links will be in the description for the recap breakdown of AI Anomaly's Soul's Acrylic album, as well as links to B Plus YouTube channel. Thank you, B Plus. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely don't want to be like a strictly CHH person. And right. For whatever reason, whenever that people thinks that means like, you know, you don't want to like, you want to make like hedonistic music as well as Christian music, which is of course not at all what it means. It just means that like I want to work with any artist who I think is dope. Like that's I mean my goal is to make dope. Like that's what I'm trying to do. Right. So if that means I'm gonna do a song with Futuristic, I'm gonna do a song with Futuristic. The song is still gonna be clean, and I'm not gonna I'm not gonna put out a song that is like antithetical to my faith, because I mean that's just not who I am. Like why would I like I am a Christian. I follow Jesus. Like there's no like question about that. But I'm just gonna work with artists who I think are dope. Like I want to that's one of the things I do admire about NF. Like he has a enormous Christian fan base and an enormous fan base outside of the space. Obviously his music is really not very Christian. Like I don't consider him a Christian rapper. But that's like sort of what I want to be able to do. Like I want to appeal to both audiences.
And I feel like we talk about how we joke about it, but it's a fact. Christian hip hop has this way of we kind of isolate ourselves, and it almost feels like Christians rapping. One, it feels like Christian artists rapping just for other Christian artists. And then it's just Christian artists rapping for only Christians. And it's like literally preaching to the choir. We should be trying to get on a song of someone who's mainstream and still talk my talk, you know what I'm saying? Be good at what I'm doing, but also like what Lecrae does, basically, where it's like, oh, people know he's the Christian, but people also know he's talented, you know? He's not just rapping for a Christian. Like the whole point is to reach outside of us. So if you're only rapping for Rapzilla's audience, you know, you're not, I mean, he's not doing
it. Yeah, we're not reaching anybody.
Facts, bro. A similarity we have is we're both big on contests. Well, I've since kind of retired, sort of. But we
Come on.
Between the two of us.
That. You say that.
I do. And then I find one I like.
Exactly.
But between us, we probably have like 20 contest wins / final. Like I think everything I've ever entered, I've at least been a finalist in or won. And I know you've won a ton of them. What is it about contests for you that like draws you to them? Like for me, when I first started, it was a whole thing of like, okay, there's a lot of rappers. I feel like I'm talented, but no one's listening to me because I'm new. So let me just do every contest I find. And at least the good thing about contests is they have to hear you. Like they have to watch your entry. They can't skip it.
That's true.
So you're going to hear me rap. And you're good. I mean, whether I win it or not, you at least have to hear me and be like, who's this guy? And then of course, once I won one and then two, I was like addicted and I was like, I have to win all of them. What are your thoughts on why did you get into contest?
Well, like the first couple contests I entered, which were like, you know, 4 years ago, before I was trash. It was at that time, it was just like, well, how can I blow up quick?
Right.
It was like, well, maybe if I win this contest, which of course is now I realize is not realistic at all.
Right.
But that was my motivation initially. But then as soon as I like got to a point where I realized like, oh, like now, like I actually know how to rap. Then it was about the competition. Cause like, I mean, I enjoy rapping competitively. Like, I think that's a beautiful part of the art. And so that was motivation. I wasn't at the point like where I wanted to enter every contest. Like, it was mostly about like, is this like something that I feel like is worth my effort? But yeah, I mean, I because I would get like, if I lost a contest, like I would just get in my feelings and like I'd quit rap for like a week. So it's not healthy to like enter a bunch of contests and just rack up a ton of L's. So
facts. Well, that's the funny thing though, if you think about it from our perspective, like some people have never won one and never will. I've won enough for like a life, you know what I'm saying? Like I've won enough of them. Like honestly, that KJ one was enough, but I think I won some after that. But someone would have dreamed of winning that and then like getting to perform on the and be on the album, and you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
exactly,
I would beat myself up and be like, bro, you've won a lot of them. Like, you don't gotta win them all. Like, you don't even like the song that you rapped on. Why do you want to win this?
Yeah, for real.
But it's definitely, I think people forget hip-hop is, I've been saying it's fun, but competition, friendly competition is fun.
Exactly,
do it right. I guess some people have not figured out how to do it right. They just get mad. But it's like, yo, this is a sport. Like, and I don't know why people can't see rap the way we see basketball. Like, we talk about Steph Curry. He's a Christian who plays basketball. I don't know if you saw the game he played the other night. He was like super hype and emotional, and no one's going to be like, oh, he's prideful and this isn't what it's. It's like, dude, he's playing a sport, and rap is a sport just like that too. We're all trying to be better than each other. But it's like in fun. Well, I'm not actually trying to kill you.
You know that Steph is talking trash out there too.
Facts.
Like all, like that's just part of it. Like it's not. It's people got to quit making it so serious.
Facts. And take it so personal. last couple questions. So, do you have a specific goal for your music? Like, I typically say I make music for myself because it's cathartic. It'd be cool to reach people, but that's not necessarily my goal. People are just going to naturally relate because I'm a human and they're human. But I kind of make music for me. Do you have a specific goal for when you make a song or a project?
I have an overall goal, which is basically I have a desire to do for somebody else what Lecrae did for me. And that doesn't necessarily have to mean that somebody like converts like because of my music or something.
Right.
But to just simply inspire somebody the way that he inspired me as a kid. Like, I mean, dude, I was writing like Lecrae lyrics in my notebooks whenever I was bored in class.
Right.
I mean, the dude like changed my life, I would say. And so like, and in a positive way, obviously. And right. So I would love to be able to inspire somebody the way that he inspired me. I mean, that's the ultimate motivation, of whether it be music or just any work that I end up doing.
Right.
That's
noble. It's funny. Cause like I said, I always wrote as a way to, you know, be cathartic and to get emotions out. And then music became that. And I never really thought, so now I have people that I definitely consider fans. Like, I have people that I really think that they might kill for me. Like, there are people that think I'm the best rapper on the planet. And anytime they say something like that thing the other day where he was like, oh, Mitch Durell is the best lyricist in CHH. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going to argue with, I mean, you know, I don't feel that way, but I'm not going to, who am I to tell him he's wrong, you know? And then if someone challenges that, they're like, no, it's Mitch. And I'm just like, okay. But it's like, I never could have foresaw, like, there would be people that would listen to just me getting my, you know, doing what I do to make myself feel better and take it and relate to it so much. I definitely think that now I at least think about the impact I could potentially have with a song that I'm just writing up for me, how it can impact somebody else that's going through the same thing. So very dope. Luckily, or hopefully this is almost over, but how has the pandemic affected you over the last year and a half now? As a creative, as a student, which you've graduated now, but how did 2020 and early 2021 treat you?
Well, as a student, it sucked. Doing online Zoom classes is a horrible way to learn, but it is what it is. I got through it.
Yep.
In terms of like art, I honestly think that it sort of helped me because it forced me to be in a space where I was like, what do I need to work on? And what do I need to put a lot of my energy into to help me grow? And so what I ended up doing was learning to shoot videos with my brother. Mm-hmm. Like we put a lot of time into just figuring out, well, like, why we don't have anything else to do because it's a pandemic. So like, let's just figure out how to shoot videos. And I think that really upped my game for sure. Right. Like, I mean, that, especially in those contests, like mm-hmm. having a good video in a contest is, I mean, I say that it's crucial at this point.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm trying to think. I used to not, I just would have a graphic. Since I'm basically, it's a mixture of not having time, another person, and I'm just lazy. But like, I would at least put the lyrics, because honestly, for me, the lyrics are always the thing that I'm striving to do the best at. So I'm like, yo, they didn't catch that one flip, or like these were. So I'm just like, let me put all the words under at least my contest. And that has helped me. But no, I definitely, it makes sense why a video, because at the end of the day, it's just whichever wows you the most is what you're gonna choose. So it's like, if it's fire lyrics and a video, then yeah, it's gonna.
Well, and yeah, especially if it's like a contest where there's like 1,000 or so entries, like, and a bunch of them aren't gonna have videos, and they're like combing back through them to figure out, okay, which ones were good again. Like,
exactly.
If you just have like a graphic, just like everybody else, they may just like scroll by, even if they thought it was dope on first listen, like they may just forget about it.
Barry, that's actually a really good point. That's why I'm retired, man. I've done my time.
Nah,
I'm gonna become another one in 3 weeks. I was supposed to be taking a break from making songs after my project, and it's been 4 weeks, and I got a song with Selah coming out in next month.
I'm excited for that,
dude. I got his verse. I'm probably gonna send it to you once it's about to get mixed, but dude,
yeah, send it to me.
I'm gonna make like 12 more songs. Like, I can't take a break. This is the 4 weeks is the longest break I've ever taken, and I probably won't take another break like that ever again because I just like it too much. Tell the people if you got anything coming up and how they can find it, how they can find you and your music, all that.
Well, I mean, I assume by the time this drops, my futuristic collab will already be out, but that's dropping this Friday, May 21st. And then I'm following that up with a song with my homie Sean Wyckoff that's dropping June 4th. So that's 2 weeks from this Friday. And that's dropping on all platforms. People can follow me on social media at Alcott Music. That's ALCOTT Music. And then on Twitter, I'm at Sam Alcott Music.
And you're super active on Twitter, right?
I mean.
You're getting there. bro, I appreciate you taking the time, man. This was definitely fun. Honestly, I'll probably have you on here again. Also, we got to do more songs together.
I'm ready whenever.
Dude, people love that song that we got with KJ. Like, I like it a lot. Everyone I've shown it to is like, yo, this song is fire. I think it was dope too. It was a nice like circle, like everything came together moment, because I was on his first project because I won a contest. You were on the second one because you won a contest, and then we're both on a song with him.
I didn't even know that you were going to be on it either. Like,
you
sent it to me. It was just, he sent it to me. It was just his verse.
Uh-huh.
And then I sent him a verse and I was like, all right, well, and actually when he sent it to me, he had two verses on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was already three verses. So I had no idea that he was going to send it to you.
Oh yeah. I was literally sitting on my couch and, he sent me just a file and was like, hey, would you get on this? And I was like, yeah. And I clicked on it. I was like, first verse is you. I'm like, I know this guy. And then I heard his voice and I'd already started writing my verse, and he was like, just so you know, I want like some chopping in there. I was like, you already know, like I had already started writing it that way. So he knew exactly what to expect from me. Dude, I'll never forget. It was when I still recorded at a studio. And I was like, oh, I didn't really know KJ that, like I knew of him, I was like mad new to CHH, but I just knew he was a big deal. So I was like, yo, I'm gonna enter this contest. I've won like some smaller ones. So I remember recording the verse and being like, this is my best verse to date. Like, this has got to, where I remember being like, please let me win this. And I remember I was on my bed and Poetics went live with KJ and they were like, we're actually going to name two winners. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely like, I have such a better chance. I had no idea how many people entered. And there were like 75 people entered. And I was like, oh my goodness. and like the first person, I think it was Jody Germain, and they played his verse. And I was like,
yeah, he's fired.
Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, the second verse, I don't know. Like, if they tied with this, I don't know. And they're like, it missed around. I remember I was like, oh my God. I was like jumping up and down on my bed. I was like, this is amazing. So that was like the happiest moment for me. So then months later when he's like, do you want to come out to Myrtle Beach, which is in my state, to perform it with me? I was like, I will be there. Rez is history, man. He's like my favorite person.
Yeah, no, I wish that he texted me like, you know, soon after winning that contest because he had a show that was like 4 hours from me or something. And I couldn't go because I had a session with Ray Rock the next morning. I was like, I don't think that I'd be able to make it back in time.
Dang, bro. That it was something. People tease me, Q-Flow in particular. They'd be like, nah, KJ gave you that push. You're an industry plant. I'm like, bro, I earned it. I rapped my butt off. I earned it. He didn't give it to me.
I'm going to start calling you that too.
Please don't. I hate it so much. I low-key get salty when he says that. I'm like,
If I'm NF to you, then you're
industry. Then I'm an industry plant. Yeah. I'm dead. All right, bro. I appreciate you being on here. Oh, I got to shout out Daryl once again for giving me this show because I love this show. It's almost been a full year of this. We're coming up on a full year of this show, which is crazy. So shouts out, Daryl. Appreciate you. Shouts out everybody watching. Tune in next time. Peace.
So what got Sharon's on one of them? Wait, why?
I've really been watching it go from no shield, no protector. If you send bullets, they gon' heat me.
Yeah. He had smoke.